his pastor stuff, he said the same thing.
Yeah.
That it's his favorite state.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's rough terrain. Maybe there's something to that, like the Bible.
Steadfast Baptist Church, if you could please find your seats and grab your songbooks. We're going to start out with 346. Bring your vessels, not a few. 346, bring your vessels, not a few. 346, bring your vessels, not a few. Let's sing it out. Are you looking for the fullness of the blessing of the Lord in your heart and life today? Claim the promise of your Father, come according to His word in the blessed old time way. He will fill your heart today to overflowing, as the Lord commanded you. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill your heart today. Precious blood, come ye needy one and all, and in human consecration wait before the throne of God till the Holy Ghost shall fall. He will fill your heart today to overflowing, as the Lord commanded you. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill your heart today to overflowing with the love unchanging still, and according to His promise, with the Holy Ghost and power, He will every vessel fill. He will fill your heart today to overflowing, as the Lord commanded you. Bring your vessels out of you. He will fill your heart today to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and power.
Let's open up in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this evening and the opportunity to be in church tonight. Pray that you would bless all those here and those that couldn't make it, Lord, and pray that you'd fill our pastor with the Holy Spirit tonight as he preaches to us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. For our next song, we'll go to 50, Peace, Perfect Peace, 50, Peace, Perfect Peace. Song 50, Peace, Perfect Peace.
Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace with sorrow surging round.
Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you did not already get a bulletin, lift your hand up real quick. We'll get you a bulletin. Also,
We're still working on our Proverbs 31, verse 20 memory passage, but we also had another challenge, the New Testament challenge, and we passed out prizes this morning, but if you did complete that and you did not already get your prize this morning, Brother Dylan's going to be standing over here. You can just get up and go and claim your prize right now. So if that was you, go ahead and just get your prize real quick. Also on the inside of our bulletins, we have our service times, our soul winning times, and then our church stats. We also have the list of our expecting ladies. There's definitely several here to be in prayer for. Please also be praying for the rest of our church family as well. If you have any prayer requests you'd like added, please just email them. We'd like to put them in the bulletin. On the back, we have the note about preaching class on the 17th, and then we have the congratulations on the birth of Adeline May. She was born at 12:28 a.m. on the 30th, weighing 6 pounds, 7 ounces, and measured 19 inches long. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who prayed for us, and baby and mom are doing great, and they're excited to come back to church. And so that's really all I have as far as announcements. Go ahead and sing our third song, Psalm 139, Psalm 139. All right, let's sing it out, Psalm 139.
Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not. Up against thee, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. For they speak against thee wickedly, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them. Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. I count them mine enemies.
As the offering plates being passed around, please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter number 16.
Romans 16, the Bible reads, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodion, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Cordus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for Romans chapter 16. And I just pray, Father God, that you would bless the sermon and that you would fill Pastor Shelley with the Holy Spirit and that you would just help him to preach his sermon with boldness. And also, Lord, I pray that this would sink in for us and that we would apply the sermon to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, I wonder how many of these people in heaven are looking down and just, they cringe how many times their names get butchered. But, you know, I just always a thought of mine. But look at verse 17. The Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now, in Romans chapter 16, it's kind of famous for having a lot of names, but just kind of right here in the middle of the text, it gives us this reminder or warning of the idea that there are certain individuals that need to be marked and avoided, that need to be called out so as to avoid them and have nothing to do with these individuals. Now, I believe that in Romans chapter 16, it gives license to the church to name names, to be very specific and call very specific people out. And, you know, there's a time and a place to call certain individuals out. Now, for the sake of this sermon this evening, I'm not really going to be doing that. I'm not going to really name very many names. I might name a few people, but the goal of the sermon is not really to name the names. But there is something important about this particular chapter and this particular subject. Individuals will creep into churches and they will try to destroy churches from within. And the point of marking and avoiding individuals was to say, hey, there's certain people in our midst or certain people that we're interacting with that need to be identified, so you stay away from that individual. But today in 2024 America,
There is another way for someone to do this that doesn't have to actually be physically present. And so things keep changing and evolving, and it's through the advent of the internet and social media and online. It allows people to still infiltrate churches, but they don't even have to physically show up at the church, which is kind of an interesting phenomenon. And it's important still, though, that those individuals be avoided and you're careful around those individuals. And I'm not gonna necessarily go on a tangent naming all these internet bozos because nobody cares. Hopefully you never even stumble upon them. If that person was in our church, it would at that point become needful. If a lot of people in our church were exposed to a particular individual, it'd be needful to name that person, okay? But it's not always needful or purposeful, a good idea to name a certain individual, because if they have no attention, I don't wanna draw everybody's attention to that individual, okay? Because the main purpose for a lot of these internet individuals is simply attention. They are a troll by nature. And what a troll is just someone that seeks attention. That is their only goal. And they will do anything to get such attention. They are basically an attention whore, and they will say anything as provocative as possible. They will do anything as provocative as possible. And that is a lot of what YouTube or TikTok even is. It's just simply doing things to get attention, likes, followers. And people will also do this with church. And so this evening, I'm just gonna talk about internet infiltrators. Internet infiltrators. And what you have to realize is that these people aren't here on this earth to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, right? This is what it says, that these individuals, they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And then notice it says, by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. The Bible says the simple believe with every word. Okay, here's the problem. People will come to church, or they'll come to a church like ours, and they start liking just the fact that, hey, now I'm exposed to a lot more truth, or I like hard preaching, I like learning new things. And they also start thinking like, wow, the government's kind of, you know, shady, and churches are shady. And sometimes they seek more information, and they'll go online, and they'll run into individuals online that also have good words and fair speeches, and they sometimes get lured in or suckered into certain personalities online and start learning things from them. But these individuals are internet infiltrators. They want to infiltrate churches, and they want to destroy churches, okay? And specifically even this church. Okay, and or churches like it. Now, I want you to go to another place. Go to Acts chapter 20 for a moment. Go to Acts chapter number 20. In times past, the internet did not exist. I don't know if you realize this. Sorry, there was a time when there wasn't internet, children, okay? And in this time of not having internet, okay, things were a little bit different in some ways, especially from a societal perspective. Men actually had to go and talk to girls. You know, it was just like, it was this crazy phenomenon. You know, now we have new IP singles because of the internet, all right? And really, the best way to not be single is to ignore the internet and talk to real people. That's typically the best advice. Now, I've heard some people meeting on the internet, praise God for the exception, but that's usually the exception, okay? The best way to meet people is in person. Say, hi, my name's John, or whatever, right? That's a good way to start. But because of the internet, it's even changed church. Because in order to interact with the church, you would have to show up. I mean, there would be no way to, quote, infiltrate a church without actually showing up and being there and doing things and talking to individuals. That'd be the only way to infiltrate a church. But now, because of the internet, it has created an ability for people who have never been to a singular church in their life to actually infiltrate a particular church. Why? What they do is they just make videos about a particular church over and over and over again, and they seek to draw away disciples after themselves. Now look what it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So what's the goal? The goal is to draw away disciples after them. Why? Because everybody wants friends. Everybody wants friends. Everybody wants a certain level of attention. Every single person wants some kind of societal interaction. Like, one of the worst punishments imaginable is being put into solitary confinement. And I've thought about this. There's been people recently, like Owen Schroyer from InfoWars, got put in prison and then in solitary confinement for a large portion of his sentence. And I even did some research. There's been men that have been in solitary confinement for decades. And I'll just tell you, that has got to be one of the worst punishments, especially if you didn't even have reading material or something. A lot of these individuals, they hurt themselves just to start feeling like they're human, and they go crazy, and it's one of the worst things ever to just be having no communication, not talking to anybody. Obviously, in marriage, a big part of marriage is talking to each other, having communication. We all like to have friends. But, you know, one of the key components to having friends, according to the Bible, is you have to show yourself friendly. Additionally, having common interests. You typically just don't have friends that you don't have anything in common with. The whole reason you even are friends with someone is because there was something at some point in your life that y'all shared in common. You both showed up at the same coffee place. You both played the same sport. You both were in the same school, right? You needed your tire fixed, okay? Whatever it is, you just have something in common, right? You showed up at the same restaurant, the same library. You both like church. I mean, there's something that you ran into each other and you have some level of common interest. The more you share an interest with someone, the more likely you are to be friends. The more things, if you have similar age, similar demographic, similar background, similar likes, similar dislikes, these things cause people to end up being friends, okay? So when there would be a certain person in a society prior to the internet that was weird, they're a loser. They're weird. They have dumb beliefs. This is what we call a flat earther. Okay? Let's imagine before the internet, there is a flat earther that lives in our city. Who is he going to be friends with? Almost no one. Because no one else is a stupid retard like him. Okay? No one else eats paint chips. All right? So what this flat earther has to do is he has to sneak into a church, okay, and lie about being a flat earther. Because as soon as he starts saying, hey, I'm a flat earther, they're like, oh, bye. You know, like, they're going to not want to hang out with them. They're not going to want to talk to them. They're not going to want to go over and do anything with that individual. So they have to lie about it. They have to conceal what they actually believe. And they have to often test people to even figure out if they can really share this information with them. So often what they would do is they would just say, like, man, you know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that make it sound like the shape of the earth is like something different. You know, it seems like NASA lies a lot. What do you think about that? So they'll have all these baits, and they're basically just testing people to see, like, hey, is this person someone that I could share this information with? And once they get enough where they're like, this person seems like they're kind of, you know, simple, they might not know, they're like, hey, why don't you come over to dinner some night? And then you come over to their house for dinner, and you know what they do? They're like, hey, I've got this interesting map I want to show you. You think I'm lying. I'm just telling you how it works. And then they show you this stupid flat earth map. And you're just like, whoa. Or they'll show you, nowadays, they'll show you this video, like, this guy's flying on a plane, and the cup of water, it's like flat, you know. There's this guy that has a camcorder and he's standing at the edge of like a river or something, or at the sea, and he zooms in, he can see further, you know. Or they'll put a level on the ground, see it's flat, you know. I don't know. Just something silly, you know. And they deceive the hearts of the simple, okay. But they can't let everybody know. And then, of course, if that individual is in our church going around testing this and telling a lot of people, well, what would happen as a good pastor would say, hey, this person needs to shut up or go away. Hey, you can't come in here teaching that, doing that, saying those type of things. You need to get in or get out. And you know, as a church, it's important that we have unity over something. Unity of doctrine. Yep. Yeah. Here's another thing that then these individuals will say, oh, you guys are a cult because I came in teaching modalism and the flat earth and they don't want me here. Yeah, you're right, because we don't believe those things. I'm like, oh, if you disagree with Pastor Shaw, you're going to get kicked out. Yeah, on those issues, yes, you will. Now, here's the thing. There are plenty of people that visit our church or even come to our church that disagree with me on lots of things. There are people in this room that put beans in their chili. I know it, okay? They make bad decisions, okay? There are people that don't even like Texas, and they're my friend. Barely. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, there are people that are going to disagree with me on stuff that's even serious, things that are on the Bible, different issues, different interpretations. You know, that's totally cool. There's no problem. But you know what's a problem? When people are coming in here trying to get everybody on their team about a particular doctrine. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to draw away disciples after what? After themselves. Because at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. If you're drawing people to this, if we're all believing this, then yeah, let's do it. Like, you can't draw people to Christ too much, but when it's you're drawing them away after yourself, well, that's the serious issue. And what it is, it's really an issue of pride. And that's the first thing. I just want to teach you three things about these internet infiltrators, but point one is that they're prideful. And it's very clear that they're prideful. What is their goal? Their goal is to draw away disciples after themselves. Their goal is they want to be the teacher, they want to be the preacher, and in fact, oftentimes they'll rise to the top in a church because they're lying and being fake the whole time, and they're just striving to get an opportunity to preach. That is their goal. Their goal is to be in charge or for people to hear them talk, hear them say things. They want to be the leader. They want to be the individual that everybody looks to. They might even preach a 5-part series on pride just to show you how they're not prideful, okay? But they are the most prideful person. They'll humble brag all the time. They'll show fake humility all the time. They'll have a lot of warning signs. They're very narcissistic individuals, okay? What is narcissistic? They think very highly of themselves. They think they are the smartest. They are the best. I do most of the soul winning around here. You know, that's the type of individual that tries to infiltrate churches. But here's the reality. When you have good leadership and a good church, these individuals don't last. They get kicked out. They get thrown out. And they're gone. And then people, these wolves looking from the outside in say, man, I can't infiltrate Steadfast Baptist Church very easily. Because as soon as I go in there and start telling people all this dumb stuff, they're going to tell Pastor Shelley, and Pastor Shelley is going to hit me on the head with the rod, okay? He's going to chase me out. So it becomes, like, very difficult to infiltrate. You know what? They've changed their strategies now. Now they use the internet. So they never have to physically come in, and there's nowhere to kick them out. So they basically create all these videos online, and they just try to attack churches and attack individuals online. And it really seems like the enemy has really tried this for a long time, and it works often. It works, and you have these cycles of all these internet bozos. And there's no point in even giving them name recognition because they change every few years. Like, there's a new one every few years, and then he gets exposed or dies or whatever, something. Like, literally, sometimes they die. Like, God just causes them to die physically. And then they'll say, we killed them or something. It's like, okay, whatever. You know, but I'm not joking that it's just, but here's the thing. We keep reaching new people and they're not exposed to this. They haven't seen anything like this before. And so the idea of someone criticizing their church or pastor online is maybe scary to them. They believe everything they hear. They get nervous. And I just want you to realize there are going to be people constantly trying to infiltrate our church physically and on the internet. And specifically, I'm aimed at internet people, internet personalities, but these people are the most prideful individuals. If you actually just pay attention to what they're saying and what they're doing, you would notice that they're very prideful. Now, of course, I don't think you should even give them attention, but I'm just saying if you end up unfortunately doing this, you need to pay attention to the fact of how prideful they are and think about their motive. What is this person's motive? You know, it's interesting to me. It's like these individuals will go on make videos about our church. They will make videos every week. of just every sermon, just constantly just making a video about our church or churches like ours, just every week, just obsessed. Just that's the only thing they can do in their life. We're the only thing that gives them any kind of satisfaction. And they'll say this. They'll say two things. They'll say, number one, this is a tiny, small cult movement. Like, just so tiny, so small. Basically, no one believes like this. Only them. Just this tiny fringe out there. Just nothing type of a group. And I'm thinking, like, well, if that's true, okay, then why are you so obsessed with us? Like, if I am sent by God to reach the world with Christianity and truth, why would I pick the smallest, most fringe, extreme cult and only attack them? Like, wouldn't you think if you're sent by God, like, maybe I should talk about the Catholic Church every once in a while? Maybe they have a few issues. Or maybe some of the Protestant denominations have a few issues. Or maybe Kenneth Copeland or T.D. Jakes. I mean, if you were going to expose people online for being false teachers, who do you think God would want you to expose more? Kenneth Copeland and T.D. Jakes reaching millions and millions of people? Or this tiny fringe cult only reaching a handful of people? Like, you wouldn't care about the tiny cult. You'd be focused on the big guys. You'd be focused on the ones doing the most damage, the most harm. Why would someone get so fixated on this cult? Either number one, they're a psychopath, which is partly true, or B, maybe they're actually saying the truth, right? Maybe it is that our church is small, sure, doesn't necessarily reach as many people as T.D. Jakes or something, I get it, but at the same time, why would so many people be obsessed with us? It's because we're preaching the truth. They're not really obsessed with us. They're obsessed with this. They're obsessed with the Word of God. And they're very prideful, and they hate the idea that other people are smarter than them. They hate the idea that other people can draw away people with intellect, with wisdom, with understanding, with teaching. They desire to be a teacher so much, and they want that so much. They don't want to be a pastor for any of the right reasons. They only want to be a pastor for all the wrong reasons. They want to be a leader for all the wrong reasons and draw people away. And because of their narcissism, they basically become a self-appointed pastor. This online preacher, this online personality. And you know what? There could be a tendency to people in this room to think like, I need to be this like self-appointed online guru that everybody listens to. But you know what? That's a dangerous thing. First of all, you know, most of these individuals, if not all of them, don't actually go to church. Do you know that? Like Brian Denlinger, that's a guy. That guy's a weirdo. This is an individual that's attacked Pastor Anderson relentlessly for years. It's not like he goes to a real church. He just attacks people and attacks individuals. And these people have no accountability. They literally have zero accountability. They could say anything. They could lie 100 times and it would affect nothing. But you know what? If I get up and lie during my sermon 100 different times, people will leave the church. People will quit the church. It will directly affect me and my family and my friends. And look, not only that, I have personal relationships with all of you. That'll affect my personal relationships that I have in my life. When someone is just online spreading lies, you know what? Even if they lost a few subscribers, that's meaningless to them because they don't have a personal relationship with them. It doesn't affect their personal life in any shape, way, or form. So they just appoint themselves these online pastors, these online preachers, and they just get up and they just teach whatever they want with no accountability. And then, of course, they say, oh, this Pastor Shelley, he's a cult leader and he has no accountability. You're a moron if you believe that. You are a moron if you think that I have zero accountability. As soon as I say anything contrary to the Bible, there will be a ton of videos online. Hey, did you see what Pastor Shelley said? Hey, you see what this happened? I mean, there is an enormity of accountability on us in our church because we put everything out there. And you know what? That should be the truth. That should be the reality. I believe that pastors should have a large amount of accountability. I think that the congregation should hold their pastor accountable for every word, for everything that he teaches. And I believe that you guys do. I've had plenty of times after sermons, people ask me questions of clarification or, hey, I kind of see things differently or, you know, I like this or don't like this. And I felt like there's been times where I was wrong, they were right, and vice versa. You know, there is a certain level of accountability that exists with a real church, Whereas online church is fake, it's a fraud, there's not legitimate accountability. And so it just keeps feeding the ego of these individuals. You know, if I get up and preach a bummer sermon and everybody's sleeping during the sermon, or people are criticizing me after the words, you know, that would cause me to feel like I need to make a change. But these people that just put it, saying all the weird stuff out there, sometimes they even get a big hit out of it because of the YouTube algorithms. They'll say literally the dumbest thing imaginable, and it'll be the most popular video. So it's almost like it rewards bad behavior. And it just keeps feeding their narcissism. It feeds their ego. It feeds their appetite to draw away disciples. And because our movement has been around for a while, and because Pastor Anderson's been around for a while, we've drawn this like huge cluster of just haters and trolls and weirdos and freaks. And they always just follow the next online internet loser. Like whoever it is that just wants to attack, they just all follow and like and just share their video and put their comments. And so they're just basically a hate cult. They're basically like our protesters. Our protesters have one thing in common. They hate our church. They don't actually like each other. I mean, they hate each other. They don't like anything about each other. They'll get in fights with each other. They'll kill each other. But they like one thing. They have one thing in common. They hate us. Okay, and it's like that's what a lot of these people online are like. They're losers in real life. They have no friends in real life. They have nothing going for them in their lives. So they just obsess with our church, and they basically think they have friends because they all hate us. And the only way they can even have a small gathering is because of the internet. Because if we really went to a city, there'd only be one or two of these people. There'd only be one or two of these people at most in a large city. They can't form their own church. Why is it that the people that hate us, hate the new IFB, try to destroy us, they don't just form their own awesome church and just show us how amazing they are? Because they can't do it. They literally can't do it. They could never actually build a successful church. They will never have a church because they're prideful narcissists. All they can do is attack. All they do is just say like, oh, you're gonna really build that wall? Nehemiah, huh? They're just a naysayer, a gainsayer, and their goal is one thing, to get one of you to walk away. That is their only goal. They know that I won't quit. They know, you know, Dylan won't quit. They know some other people won't, but they think maybe a new person will. Maybe someone who's weaker in the faith. Maybe someone who's younger. And through their just pure pride, it sometimes confuses people as confidence, and they get suckered into their narcissism. And they are able to just gaslight people. They create a lot of clickbait videos. And they just lie, folks. It's just that simple. They just lie and slander and misrepresent. And people will say like, oh man, I watched this video and it looks pretty bad. Yeah, if you believe their lies, it looks bad. But here's the problem. They're lying. That's the real issue, is that they lie, twist things out of context, only show you one side of things, and because of their existence, people will sometimes get drawn away. I mean, why do you think there's so many passages that are saying this? Why do you think that the Apostle Paul says in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears? Do you think the Apostle Paul is just saying, it's not a big deal? I warned you every single day for 3 years, even crying, a grown man crying, telling you how serious this is. But you know what? You're probably too spiritual. It would never affect you. No, it affects everyone. You cannot let these internet infiltrators get in your ear and just listen to their lies over and over and it not affect you. It will affect you. That's why you have to be careful and avoid them. And the reason why I'm not going to name them is because there's too many to name. And a new one will pop up tomorrow. You need to just avoid internet infiltrators and recognize this person is not right in the head. Why would I just be so obsessed with the new IFB if it was meaningless? I mean, imagine me just picking the weirdest cult that we've never even heard of. What if I just said, I'm gonna only dedicate my sermons from now on to Tyler Doka and his church? It's like, does anybody even go to his church? I think he's just a church of one. I think his wife and his children left him. Like, he doesn't have anything anymore. He doesn't even have his faithful evangelist. You know what I mean? Like, Everybody left him. Can you imagine? I mean, you're the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can't even get one disciple. I mean, our Lord and Savior had 12. He had a lot more than that, too. He had multitudes and crowds following. I mean, you're really the Messiah. You have all the knowledge of the truth, and you can't even get your own wife to follow you. What a loser.
Amen.
Tyler Doka is the biggest loser on the planet. He is the worst person. No one wants to be his friend. No one. Okay. And look, some people fell for a lot of his videos early on. You know what the video that should have told you I should never listen to anything this guy ever says again? When he says the earth is flat. He got up and he said, hey, the earth, or just the fact that you just go to his website and it's a picture of him with one child and he has bolded on the text, having faithful children. I'm like, are you just mocking the Bible? Like, what is that? Why would you do that? You know, these individuals are just the most prideful individuals, so narcissistic that they can think that they're literally Jesus Christ. Go through it to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Beware of these individuals. They love to talk about how smart they are. And I also notice they're very carnal. So what is it that when you're trying to pick a fight or trying to show how much better you are than someone else, what does the unsaved mind think of? Oh, I could beat him up. So they'll constantly, oh man, I would just love to, you know, fight him, or I'm sure that I could beat him up, or, you know, they're always challenging you to a fight, or they act like they would somehow rough you up. And it's like, usually it's not even true, but even if it was true, that's meaningless. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that could beat me up that have bad doctrine. Ooh, you know, big whoop. And there's plenty that have bad doctrine that I'm sure I would, you know, whip them pretty badly, okay? It doesn't affect who has the best doctrine. Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't have the best doctrine, folks, okay? It doesn't just make you the best UFC fighter doesn't have the best doctrine. And if he does, praise God. I'm not against that. But you know what? Your physical prowess has nothing to do with your doctrine. They'll appeal to that, or they'll appeal to money, or wealth, or anything that's just carnal. You know, that's another red flag, like this person's a bad person. Or they'll appeal to your lack thereof. Like, oh, Pastor Shelley's not the tallest and biggest and strongest and has the most money and whatever. I mean, I've had people act like, well, if you were so of God, wouldn't you have a big fancy building? Why? Why would I have to have a big fancy building? I saw this thing online, and it was like showing all these Catholic churches and Eastern Orthodox churches. There's these magnificent buildings, giant buildings, ornate structure, millions and millions of dollars, if not even billions for that property. And they're saying, and then they show like a Protestant church, and it's like a barn dominium. And they're saying, seems like there's a problem here. And I like commented, and I said, like, well, you know what? Jesus was born in a manger. Is the church judged on the fact of whether it's a metal building or some ornate structure? You know, I don't evaluate doctrine on the structure. And in fact, if, you know, he took half of that money and invested it in, like, I don't know, missions or preaching the gospel, maybe you could actually change this world. Yeah. Instead of drawing naked babies on the ceiling. Yeah. I wouldn't even want it. First thing we would do in the Sistine Chapel is repaint it. If you give me the Sistine Chapel, that's the first thing we're going to do is we're going to repaint that. If not, just knock it down. I mean, I don't want that junk in my church. I don't want to look at that perversion and that weirdo stuff. You know, most of the guys painting these things were homosexuals. Most of the Renaissance painters, I mean, it's gross and perverted what they were drawing. That gets to a point later in the sermon, but they are the most prideful individuals. And even though they're very confident, and they'll gaslight you and lie and just say all kinds of things that aren't true, another thing that they do, though, is they never really explain what they believe. They'll attack what we believe, and they'll say it's wrong, but then they'll never really give you the answer. What they typically do is what the Bible says, they minister questions. And look what it says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables, and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So he's saying good doctrine, right doctrine, answers questions. Bad doctrine, false doctrine, ministers questions. What does that mean? You actually have more questions after learning than you did before. You don't actually feel better about what you believe. You feel worse about what you believe. You feel less confident in what you believe. You have less faith in the Lord. This is what bad doctrine does. Good doctrine makes you feel like you have more assurance, more faith, you're more understanding, more knowledge. So a good litmus test is this individual helping me understand this passage better or putting more doubt on it, making it more confusing? And often they'll never really tell you what things actually believe or what things actually mean. They'll just say, I just know this is wrong. I saw some loser online say, well, I know Pastor Shelley teaches, and you know, the new IFB teaches that Jesus Christ went to hell after he died, but I have no idea where he went. I just know it wasn't hell. Oh, well, thanks for that. Thanks for explaining to me that you don't actually know, but then you somehow know it's not hell, right? Because that really benefits us. So where was he for those 3 days? Well, I have no idea. I can't explain it. I have no idea. Okay, well, what do all the passages mean when they say hell? I don't know, but I just know that it doesn't mean hell. It's like, that's a bad doctrine. Someone that can defeat our doctrine should be able to make it even clearer in the Bible. Not just saying like, well, I just know it's somehow it's not right. You know, well, does Jesus or God hate anybody? No, I know that he doesn't. What about the passage that says that he hates people? I don't know what that means, but I know that he doesn't hate people. How do you know that? I just know it. It's like, this is what false doctrine does. You know, it's astounding to me how many people actually don't believe that God hates anyone. Or how many people even told me on a college campus that it's loving for God to send people to hell. And you're just thinking like, where are you getting these ideas? It's just people get attached to some kind of a narcissistic person who teaches them a bunch of lies and they can't let it go. And they have this dogma just stuck in their mind and now they're just confused about everything. They're confused about lots of things. And don't think that just because you're securely fastened right now that you couldn't get confused in your mind. Yeah. If you listen to a lot of false doctrine, if you listen to just tons, hours and hours of the Church of Christ, hours and hours of Catholics, hours and hours of Jehovah's Witnesses, you listen to hours and hours of online infiltrators, you'll start to get weird in your mind. Yeah. You'll lose faith. You'll get confused. You'll start to slip. You'll start having more questions. I mean, there's a lot of children that are very secure in their beliefs, very confident in their beliefs, and then they go to college. And for 4 years, those instructors destroy the minds of the youth. Right. They completely brainwash them and propagandize them, and they get them to where they don't believe anything anymore. And it's called deconstructing Christianity. And they can deconstruct a lot of people's faith and ideas and understanding and just cause them to basically just be a do-nothing, whether they're saved or unsaved even. And it's very important that we don't listen to these individuals. They don't teach much. They don't answer questions. They just minister questions, and they always want the debate because a debate will constantly cause you to have more confusion on the subject. And they're never really actually having a debate. It's kind of like that thing I read this morning where you say, hey, you believe in works? No, I don't. And it's like, well, yeah, but everybody's, you know, that's a Catholic says they believe in works. Yeah, but that's not really what they mean. And you say, okay, but on your doctrinal statement, it says works. Yeah, but doesn't Jesus who teach works? And you're like, wait a minute. You just, for the first part of this conversation, you kept telling me you don't believe in works. And now all of a sudden you're trying to convince me that works is really in the Bible. Which one is it? And it's like, as soon as you destroy one of their points, they just slip to another argument. Yeah. No, let's go back and revisit this first question. Do you believe in works? Answer that question. And they just won't answer it. Yeah. Right. And then they just keep slipping and slipping and slipping and slipping, and it's annoying. Yeah. And they're just hoping to get a foothold in your brain and your mind somewhere that's loose, and they can get you to kind of go off in la-la land with them. Well, in the essence, it does kind of lie a lot. well, yeah, that kind of does look, it's a weird picture, you know, of the stars. And it's just, they just get this slippery slope, and then eventually you're like, the moon landing's fake, then the earth is flat, and then you're just on drugs or something. I don't know. It's just, you basically, you're just a weirdo at that point. And no one will be your friend except for an online cult of haters. An online cult of haters. That's why real church is important. It makes you normal. It forces you to be normal and believe normal things. And the only people that, you know, the only people that can't make friends have to end up lying about it. They end up having to lie just to try and pretend to make some friends. But with the internet, it's allowed these people to think they have friends when they really have none. Oh, I have 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. I have 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. See, I have all these friends. But maybe they're just watching the train wreck unfold. You don't even know. Maybe China has a bunch of bots just beefing up your channel to see, like, let's see how many people follow this idiot. Like, this is the town idiot, and we're just going to all, like, point and laugh at him. That doesn't mean that they actually like you or believe anything that you're saying. And often by the comments themselves, you can tell this person's following is a bunch of weirdos. Like, when they're making a bunch of videos attacking us, and the only positive comments are coming from Catholics and non-Christians, you're like, I don't know that you have the following that you really want there, buddy. Seems like you have a bunch of light and vain and treacherous persons following you there. Yeah. But they don't really care. They just want a following, okay? Non-denominational churches. Go, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 2. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. Point one is this. These people are very prideful. They just self-appoint pastor. They have no accountability. They have no standard doctrine. They don't actually teach what they believe. They just knock other people down. And they don't really answer questions. They just minister questions continually. And we need to avoid those individuals. We need to be taught by people that have accountability. That's why you go to a real church. That's why you go to a real flesh and blood pastor. You can ask questions. You have a relationship with. You can see. You can have an experience that's real. The online experience is fake. Most of the internet is just fake, and people don't realize it. And we live in an age where the internet is everything to many people, but it's a facade. And you need to be careful that people aren't infecting you from afar. Because I personally, at this point, I think that it's going to be very minimal damage from in-person infiltrators in our church. But I could see over time online people constantly knocking people out or drawing away groups or circles or clubs, just because the internet's a powerful tool and people can get sucked in and listen to a lot of this stuff and you have no idea. I mean, literally, I don't know what you do all day. I don't really care. No one knows what you're doing. So if you're just listening to junk online forever, it could poison the mind, and it can poison the mind of a lot of people. You need to be careful who you're listening to, what you're listening to. Now, here's a second thing that they do. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Notice this word, privily. Number one, they're prideful. Number two, they're privy. They're secretive. They're cunning. They're subtle. Just like the devil is subtle. They never tell you the real reason why they're doing anything they're doing. Every once in a while, they'll tell you exactly what they're doing, but they do it in this way. Now, I'm not trying to attack this church. You know what they're doing? They're trying to attack the church. I'm not trying to attack you. I'm not trying to say you're fat, but, you know. I'm not trying to say you're ugly, but, you know. I'm not, as soon as someone says I'm not trying to do something, that's exactly what they're trying to do. Because they're bringing it up because they know that's what they're doing. So they want to try and use that negation as a mind warp to try and confuse you to think like, well, but they told me they're not attacking me. But it just felt like they were stabbing me in the back the whole time. It's because they were really stabbing you in the back. Okay? Be careful when someone says something like that. Also, be careful about someone's motivation. Why are they saying this? Why are they teaching this? Why are they doing this? Why would someone not go to church, but then just make videos about church and make videos online? Oh, everybody's wrong. Every church is wrong. I'm the only one that knows what the Bible says. You know what they're trying to say? Come to my online church. And there's literally an online church from one guy. It's Robert Breaker. Who's heard of this guy? He's like, I have the online church. You know why you have the online church? is because you could never build a real church. If Robert Baker came and knocked on your door and said, will you come to my church? You'd be like, go away, weirdo. Yep. No one would want to go to his real church. So that's why he has to create the online church to get a bunch of weirdos and freaks to subscribe to his channel and make him think that he's someone special. The guy has like falsely predicted Christ's return. I mean, the guy just says all kinds of weird, bizarre nonsense. And he just keeps getting more popular. You know why? Because he falsely predicted Christ's return. It's just like YouTube just shot up all of his subscribers. So that's what I'm saying. Like, people make the worst video, but then it'll actually make them more popular online. And then they think like, oh, now I'm even more popular. So I'll just keep doing it again and again and again. And it's just these online infiltrators. And then you look at somebody, oh, this guy has 500,000 subs. And he said something negative about my church. Must be right. That's not necessarily true. Oh, he said something different about salvation or the Trinity or the Bible or whatever doctrine it is. And they're just trying to slip in their little weird doctrine. And just like Romans 16 has said, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And a lot of people get sucked away. I've known some of you and some of my friends, they'll come to me and they'll talk to me and they'll be like, man, my mom, my brother, my sister, my cousin, they're like, listen to this weirdo online. They have these weird views. They think they believe in the Nephilim, right? That's one that's really popular. It's like they literally think that there's these like angel hybrids or something. And it's probably because they're listening to Alex Jones, who, okay. They start thinking all kinds of weird stuff, weird end times things. Hey, COVID's the mark of the beast, man. You know, it's like, no, it's not. It'll kill you, but you know, it's not the mark of the beast, right? They just have all these weird, strange ideas. And what these individuals do is they try to gaslight you. They try to rewrite history. And of course, someone who's simple is someone that doesn't know. If you don't know a lot about history, never ever just believe an online video about history. Just don't do it. Someone that knows a lot about history, they'll listen to somebody like, this guy's junk, that's a lie, that's wrong, click. Someone that's actually read books about history or like studied things, they'll recognize the lies that are in it. Someone that doesn't know anything about history, they'll watch a video and this guy will lie the entire time about history and they'll just be like, wow, well, if that's history, you know. Here's another unreliable source, Wikipedia. Yeah. You know, when I went to school, if you quoted Wikipedia, they would fail you. It was not an allowable source at all. I don't know what changed. You know, and Wikipedia has not gotten better. It's gotten worse as far as the gaslighting, the editing, the revisionist history. Now look, sometimes Wikipedia is right. I use Wikipedia. I look it up. I don't think there's anything wrong with using these resources and thinking about them, but we need to always have a caveat and say, but this could be unreliable. A lot of times what I do is I say, where did they get that information? I'll look at their sources and I'll click and it's like, this is what's funny. It'll be like, you look at the source, it'll say Associated Press. And then you click Associated Press and it's like, their source is BuzzWeek. And then you look at the BuzzWeek article and their source is like the Associated Press. And you're like, well, how does this circle work? It's just like, who's the real source on any of this information? It's like, no one is the real source on this. Or they'll be quoting somebody indirectly, not a direct quote, but just basically paraphrasing. And then you go look at the direct quote and you're like, well, that's not what that's saying at all. And so you have to be very careful. If you don't know much, be very skeptical. Skeptical of everyone, skeptical of everything that you hear. That is a way better approach to life than just believing everything that you hear. Just accepting anything that you hear. They'll snow you with unfamiliar vocabulary to make you think that they're someone to be trusted. Or someone who's smart. James White does this a lot. And there is so many terms when it comes to theology, you'll never catch them all. I remember at one point, James White was trying to like flex on everybody in this debate. And he's just like, you know, if we're gonna talk fancy, then we need to talk about the differences between infralapsarianism and sublapsarianism. But don't get me started on supralapsarianism. It's like, you're not cool. Like nobody, no girl was like, oh. It's like, but that's what they want to do. They want to, oh man, this guy must be way smarter than me. Yeah, but just because you've never heard that word doesn't mean that you don't even know what he's talking about. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the differences of do you have free will or not? Those are the fancy words, the Calvinist words to understand. Did God really give us free will or not? Did I actually have a choice? Did God actually destine some to hell, or did God actually give us a choice to make that decision? That's really what he's talking about, okay? You all know that subject. You already know that Calvinism is a lie. You already know that God gave us free will. You already know that it's a wicked God that would literally create people only for the purpose of being damned with no free will. You don't need to hear the stupid superlapsarianism term to realize that it's garbage, okay? But they'll snow you with these words, and but this guy's using all these words. I've never heard Pastor Shelley use them. Yeah, because they're dumb. Why would I need to teach you?
All right, today's dissertation in exegetical scripture is on lapsarianism. Will you please turn in your study notes?
It's like, why would we want to get into that kind of stuff? We don't want to. We don't need to. You need to know the actual truths of the doctrines, not the fancy theological terms. Don't let people snow you with, well, that's this kind of theology. Who cares what the wording is? I'm sure you probably actually know about it. Just because you don't know the term, just because you don't know the vocabulary, doesn't mean you don't know the subject matter. If you know the Bible well, you'll know if it's right or wrong. You don't have to know every fake dollar bill out there. You just have to know what the real one looks like. Another thing is they'll have more information than you can possibly consume. They'll gaslight you on history, the Bible, other beliefs. And here's the thing. They never do soul winning either. They always attack soul winning. You know why? Because they can't actually approach people, win them over to Christ, and they have nowhere to go. Hey, follow my YouTube channel where I just attack churches. No one wants to follow that. That's a normal person. Only other weirdos and freaks. Other infiltrators. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And of course, the only teachings that they ever have are not of any real substance. They're always weird fringe beliefs. Because when you actually teach sermons that are helpful to people, you know, sermons on how to love Christ better or be a harder worker or being selfless, things like that that actually make you a better person, have better character, you know what they don't do? They don't go viral. They don't explode on the internet. So these internet individuals never make videos like that. They make videos like, have you ever heard of Adam's first wife named Lilith? It's like, what? Have you ever heard about these 10-foot-tall Nephilim giants? You know, Bill Gates is really a reptilian. Let me prove him the Bible. It's like, that's the kind of videos and the kind of squirrely doctrines that these individuals love to constantly promote. Why? Because they're interested in, you know, just getting attention, followers. Or, did you hear this thing that Pastor Shelley did? Or he's wrong, or the new IB did this. And it's like always gossip and slander and lies and railing and whatever they can throw out there just to get attention. Because they're attention whores. Yeah. They have no desire to help people or to do good or to serve God. They serve their own belly and with good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. It's just the same pattern over and over. We just insert watchdog, take him out, put in a new guy, right? It doesn't matter what online troll it is. Just, oh, here's another one. Here's the new guy. You know, here's the reason files. Throw them and, you know, and then he goes and buys shoes and it's like, it's all over, you know? But it doesn't matter what online infiltrators there are because, you know what, they're going to come and go. Like the trash that they are, like the chaff that they are, they'll be blown away into some other distant land or destroyed or something. But we'll have new people constantly coming in here. And, you know, a lot of you in here are probably not the people that I really need this information. Most of you are probably pretty good. But a lot of new people are being reached. We have a lot of people coming on Sunday morning. And what I need is you guys, when these people start saying, hey, did you see this guy's video? Be like, don't listen to him. Don't listen to that junk. Don't be around that individual. Help the other people in the congregation and you mark and avoid them for me. You know, the sermon we started was about marking and avoiding. I don't have to do all of that. You can do that for me. You can help these people and say like, that guy's a flat earther. That guy's a weirdo. That guy's a reject. This guy's a slanderer. You know, don't listen to that. When your mom, when your cousin, when your brother, people are getting invested in this stuff. We need to call them out and say, hey, this person's prideful. This person is being cunning. And use some of the logic that we're seeing from the Bible and that I'm showing you to help win some of these other people, the simple-minded people over. Because it's tough to educate someone very quickly. If you don't know any history, I can't just educate you on history in 5 minutes, right? But you can help them with some things, with some subtle clues, pointing out some of the obvious, what's going on with this individual. But generally speaking, we need to all avoid their false doctrine. And we need to think, like, it's important that my family members don't listen to this too. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth of erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now again, like I said, a Sunday night crowd is more of your faithful crowd, okay? So it's very unlikely that any of y'all will fall for some weirdo or online bozo. But at the same time, don't play with fire. Don't think like, well, I go to church 2 times a week, I can handle it. Just don't mess with it, okay? There's certain rules that we have. Like if you're a gun owner, you never point a gun at anything you don't want to destroy. It doesn't matter how good you are. Even the best shooters, even the best military, even the best snipers, they're not haphazard with their gun. That's the reason why they're the best. And even the best Christians, they're not going on and seeing how much false doctrine they can tolerate. Just seeing like, how much weird stuff can I listen to, man, and stay normal. Normal people just don't do that. You already failed because a normal person is living their life, okay? Beware of these online internet weirdos that want to just suck the life out of you, destroy and warp your mind. And notice what it says, their word will eat as doth a canker. Yeah. Even though something's a lie, sometimes even that lie just eats at you. Right. And it's annoying. That's why it's important not to listen to it. You know, if there was a young girl that you were interested in, maybe you're a young single man and there was a young girl in the church and you liked her, but then someone came up to you and said, like, she's a whore. And maybe that's just a bold-faced lie. Maybe that's not even true at all. But for some reason, that'll just poison your mind forever. Or it could cause you to have bad feelings towards that person, even though it's not true. And some people don't realize that that kind of reputation sometimes gets destroyed, defamed, even though everything that was said was false. When people spread lies and gossip. And so it's important that you don't go and try to see, like, I want to hear every horrible accusation about this person that I can find. It'll poison your mind against that individual. Even if it's all lies. Because we just sometimes aren't capable of filtering stuff out. And sometimes notice those words that can just set in your heart and your mind. And they just slowly eat at you or cause you to have doubt or confusion, or you're just like, I don't know. Or just maybe there's an intangible effect of just you had some negative feeling when you thought about this person, and it's hard to detach yourself from that. That's why it's also important, even in your relationships, your marriage or your friendships or the people that you look up to, your boss, not to have negative thoughts, not to dwell on negative things about them, not cherry pick the evils about them, because it'll just affect you. If I just sit here and just try to think of every negative thing I can about Dylan, I could hate him, okay? And I like Dylan. Dylan's a great guy. There's no reason for me to hate him. He does a lot of good things for our church. But if I just tried to think of, like, I'm just gonna make a list of everything I can think negative about Dylan right now, and I need some help from y'all, okay? At the end of that, we wouldn't feel better about Dylan, okay? That wouldn't be healthy. Right? But what if we said this? What if we're like, let's all think about the things that we like about Dylan. Right? When you go to a funeral, how beneficial would it be if we were just like, let's just name all the things that we really hate about this person and the terrible things about them. That's the worst thing you can do at a funeral. What you do at a funeral when they're dead is you just think about the positive. And obviously if the person's in hell, you know what? They could have still done something positive in their life, and maybe their bad example of a life can motivate others to do good. But you still don't want to cherry pick them to death. That's just not a healthy thing, okay? And why would I then think, I want to find this internet person and all they do is just obsess with the character flaws and the issues of individuals? Like, that is not healthy. I hate false prophets. I don't like Kenneth Copeland at all. I don't like T.D. Jakes. I don't like Creflo Dollar. I don't like any of these individuals. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to obsess about every single thing they've ever done wrong in their lives. Because I'm not a weirdo psychopath. Weirdo psychopaths obsess about stalkers, obsess with these individuals. And they try to just figure out how to attack. And it ends up coming out that they're a pervert. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to show you another verse here. So point one is this. Internet infiltrators are prideful. Number two, they're privy. They're going to try and do things that are on the sly, false accusations, whatever. And they'll just, they slander and rail so much. But there's just no way to hold them accountable. And often they do that on purpose just for the attention itself. They'll say something that's not true on purpose just to get attention. Some people try to do this, it's actually kind of funny. Like they'll go on like Twitter or Facebook or one of these things and they'll just blatantly lie. Like I saw this one, this kid was actually funny. He said, every single bank is owned by Muslims. And you know what Twitter has is they have this this thing called community notes where any post that's got a lot of attention that's wrong, they'll come on there and they'll correct it. It says, no, this is incorrect. Actually, all the banks are owned by Jewish people. And so it's just really funny because, you know, people will go out there and they'll intentionally lie just for that factor. Or they'll say something like, this is really good, when it's something that's really bad on purpose, just to try and provoke people to then comment. Like, you know, somebody will have really bad form in baseball or something, and they'll be like, man, this guy's got a really great swing. Or this guy's better than Babe Ruth or something. Or this guy's better than the best baseball player. And it's obviously not true, but all they want is all the people coming, that's not true, no it's not, this guy's way better. And then what happens is their post gets 100,000 likes, or just comments, and then you know what, they get $10,000 from the ad revenue on that post. They didn't really believe that. They were saying that on purpose to provoke you to then answer or say something or whatever. This is the same way that these internet people work. Is they say things insincere on purpose. They'll lie about a pastor, lie about church, lie about individuals. That's clearly not true. Just to get you to get enraged and be like, no, that's not true, or he said this, or whatever. They want you to respond. And then you fall for it like the simple suckers that we are, and we're like, no, that's not true. And they're like, yeah, it is. And you're like, no, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it is. And they'll do that forever because all they want is the attention. Because you know what? If they turned off their computer, they would stare at an empty, sad wall that's in their mom's basement. And their mom's died, and now it smells, and they have no one to hang out with, and no one likes them. And instead of taking a shower and meeting friends, they just keep trolling online. And you keep giving them attention. You know, you have to stay away from these people because no one likes them. They're weirdos, and they're often perverts. And we need to, you know, recognize these patterns because it's important that we don't get sucked in, our families don't get sucked in, new people in our church don't get sucked in. And when you notice someone say like, hey, have you seen this video? Be like, that's a bad person. Hey, don't listen to that individual. Hey, that person's a prideful person. That person's a pervert. You know, make sure people are staying away from the weirdos. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 14. This is what it says about these false teachers, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. They will do all kinds of weird stuff. And what I've noticed, there's a lot of Christians, quote unquote, channels, internet people, and what they like to do is they like to show you filth and then tell you that it's bad. Like, they'll show you pictures like, look at this woman who's not wearing clothes. And you're like, isn't the whole point of you pointing that out is me not to look at it? So then why are you showing it to me? Or they're like, look at this really disgusting tranny. It's like, I don't want to look at that. Or hey, have you seen this horrible scene in this movie that they should have never put in here? It's satanic. It's like, why am I looking at it? Why am I supposed to see this? You know, they're actually self-defeating the whole point of what they're trying to make. It's like these conservative women that have an online platform. It's like, what? Like, yeah, I'm a conservative woman. I'm standing for traditional values by having the most popular TikTok channel where I dance on it. It's like, no. A conservative woman is in the kitchen making Food and babies. That's what a conservative woman's doing. Okay? She doesn't have this big following online. You know, she's supporting her husband. Okay? And so don't let these obvious contradictions just go by the wayside. Notice, hey, that's kind of perverted. Like, why are you showing me that image? There's this one online person that attacks me all the time, and he then started talking about God. He was talking about his loins. And I was thinking, like, what pervert would start talking about that? I'm like, that just should be the instant red flag. Showing images and pictures of men without shirts on and showing their bodies and stuff. And I'm thinking, like, what kind of weirdo wants to put those kind of images on their thought in their mind? Like, I'm going to go find that image and then put it on a video with my face on it. Like, that is a pervert. Yeah. Recognize this guy is a pervert. Why would I listen to anything that he has to say? He obviously likes looking at pictures of men. I'm not into that. I don't want to see that kind of stuff. And there was one guy that was really bad at this. His name was the Vigilant Christian. Who knows who I'm talking about? Okay. This guy was really popular a long time back. I think he climbed to at least 500,000 subs, maybe even more at one point. I mean, the guy was super viral, making all kinds of videos. But his like whole stick would just be like, look at these satanic dances from Beyonce, and look at, you know, like, look at all this filth and all this smut. Well, then it comes out that the guy's a total pervert. Yeah. People are making a lot of accusations, and I don't know what's all true, but a lot of people are saying that he was a sodomite, that he was into all kinds of drugs, and then basically just took all his video down and made a video saying, like, you know, people are attacking me for my past and stuff, and it was like, is that true? You know, do you really want to learn the Bible from a sodomite pervert? But that's what a lot of these individuals really are. Why is it that they're not in church thriving? It's because they can't. And look, I'm not against individuals making videos, you know, but I think here's the thing. Here's what keeps you in balance. You're in church. Because if anybody in our church just starts making all these weird videos, I'm sure a lot of us would, like, notice and then be like, what's up with your flat earth videos, bro? Like, what are you doing? Right? If someone in our church just started making all these videos and they were teaching work salvation, we would be like, bye. You know, we'd kick them out of the church. So, you know, it's not so much that there's a problem making videos. The problem is not having church. And when people don't have church, they have no accountability because they don't have other people in their lives to hold them accountable. That's why you come to church, folks, is you, it makes you normal. It makes you nice. It makes you a better person. Not going to church and just listening to things on the internet can make you weirder and weirder and weirder and weirder. And then pretty soon you could never have friends again because you're just so out there. You need to be around other normal people coming to church, and we make each other better. We edify one another. It's important that you also don't allow these people to get you out of this institution. What is their goal with attacking us and attacking our church? To get you out of here. Why? To draw away a disciple for you to become them. And you would not be the first people. I've had tons of people in our church get drawn away. There's been people even recently. They start listening to some weirdo online that doesn't go to church. And then all of a sudden they just start believing and spouting the same nonsense. And then they're gone. And you just think, like, it's so weird when it happens. But it's hard to detect. It's hard to tell who's listening to crap online. But let me warn you, do not listen to crap online. Don't listen to this junk. Don't listen to these prideful people. When you notice they're being a prideful, privy pervert, you just get rid of them. And frankly speaking, I don't even listen to people online that don't have accountability in their lives. I listen to Pastor Anderson, but you know what? That guy has accountability. I listen to other pastors of real churches preach real sermons to real people because you know what? There's real value in that. But there is not value in listening to the guy that's got a camcorder stuck up to himself, some Yahoo, some bozo, and says, you don't really have to call the name of the Lord to be saved. Liar. Yeah. What church do you go to that believes that? You know what? You know why that guy has an online video saying that? Because there isn't a church he can go form with hundreds of people that all believe that nonsense. You go find me hundreds of people in this city that believe that nonsense. It can't happen. Only a bunch of haters online that say like, oh yeah, I think that's true. Bunch of Catholics and atheists and whoever to agree with you, which who cares what they think? People say all kinds of weird stuff on videos online, but they're not thriving in a real church. And look, I'm telling you, real church is where it's at. If you have the right doctrine and you're doing the works of the Holy Spirit, it's gonna thrive. But it's gonna thrive in real church, okay? Things that thrive on the internet are weird, perverted, satanic, and wrong. Those are the things that typically thrive. And especially with the censorship machine going at it hard, you know, truth can sometimes thrive too, but right now it's hard for the truth to thrive. And oftentimes people aren't that interested in the truth. They're interested in lies and smut and gossip and filth and dirty things and whatever. So these internet infiltrators are gonna try to attack our church. They do all the time. They're never gonna stop. And as soon as one goes down, another one will pop up. And then another one will pop up. And it just keeps, we just keep forming this bigger group of haters that just keep following us around, hating on us. But you know, when someone is mad about our church, maybe they've been infected, and you also need to ask them some questions. So you're like, why do you not like our church? Well, because of this, and they start spouting all these lies and weird stuff. It's like, who you been listening to? An internet infiltrator? You know, we need to tell them, get away from those individuals. Go to a real church and listen to sermons from real pastors at real churches. Stay away from the internet bozos. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for giving us the Bible and giving us church and helping us to recognize that there are evil people out there that would destroy us. I pray that we would not allow our minds to be corrupted by these privy individuals, by these perverts, by these prideful narcissists, by these self-appointed pastors, but rather we would be diligent, we'd be careful. And if we notice someone else that's struggling in this area or getting drawn away, that we would lovingly come unto them, that we beseech them with patience and kindness and try to help them to not get sucked into deception and lies and deceit. And I pray that you just help us to all be committed and stick with church and realize this is the institution that you bled and died for. This is the institution that you want us in. And it's not only for you, but it's also for our benefit. I pray that we would get that truth deep in our hearts. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, before we have a baptism tonight, we're going to sing song number 49, Meet Me There. Song 49, Meet Me There. Song 49, Meet Me There.
On the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, when the storms of life are o'er, meet me there. When the night dissolves away into pure and perfect day, I am going home to stay. Meet me there. Meet me there. Meet me there. Where the tree of life is blooming, meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er on the happy golden shore,
singing. Let's do song number 64, Shall We Gather at the River? Okay, here we go. Baptism. One verse, Shall We Gather at the River? Here we go.
Shall we gather at the river, where bright angel feet have trod? With its crystal tide forever, flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful
We have Sister Janine coming for baptism. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Then I baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Make sure to congratulate our baptism. You are dismissed.